Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in talking about this subject of peace, let me just, this was from the first lesson that I had shared in talking about our identity. Peace is, and this is just from the dictionary, is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. It says it's a pact, P-A-C-T, or agreement to end hostilities between those that have been at war or in a state of enmity. What's the opposite of peace? What's the antonym? It means a war, a state of hostility, conflict, or antagonism. So when we look at things, I was just curious. You know, I don't look at these kinds of statistics. People that are in this line of work, that are in mental health care, or in that kind of health portion of the business, so to speak, when you look at the statistics, they're disheartening. They're staggering, as a matter of fact. And we need to consider just what we've been redeemed from. And so when you look at this, I was just looking this up on looking up statistics on depression, anxiety, mental disorders. And it's staggering. We hear it on the news and we go, oh yeah, uh-huh. But then consider what you've been redeemed from. What have you been redeemed from? You've been redeemed from that. And so I was just looking at this. What are things that are considered emotional problems? Anger management, bad temper, stress, worry, depression, phobias, obsessive compulsive disorders, OCDs, people that have those kinds of things, sleep disorders, post-traumatic disorders, and a bigger one that's going on, suicide. Right? Now, obsessions, I just pulled this little description out. Obsessions are intrusive and unwanted thoughts, images, urges that cause distress and anxiety. Compulsions are behaviors that a person feels compelled to perform. Eat, not eat, you know, all these kind of things that they have compulsions about, right? And obsessions. Now, suicide, on the other hand, this is just a stat from 2017, a couple years ago. This said here, suicide was the 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States, claiming the lives of 47,000 people. This is in 2017. It said suicide, listen to this, suicide was the second leading cause of death, the second leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 10 and 34. And the fourth leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 35 and 54. How many knew that? I didn't. This is what it said. This was in 2017. There were more than twice as many suicides, 47,000 in the United States, as there were homicides, 19,000. So there is a problem when we call about a stress problem, an obsession problem, a mental disorder, there is something going on. And we have the answer. The answer was in Christ. We've been redeemed from that. And we can carry to this generation that's lost hope in Christ. And so let's turn over as we do that. We're talking about this, let's turn over to Isaiah 53 and look at verses 3 through 5. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. And when you think about, you know, we're not just talking about people that don't know Christ. We're talking about a good percentage of the body of Christ don't really know what they've been redeemed from. They know they're a Christian, but they're lacking an understanding of the Word of God and what they've really been redeemed from. And so you have Christians in stress and anxiety and worry over things that they've been redeemed from. And so what does it impact? It affects not only them individually, but it affects friendships, it affects marriages, it affects everything. Their families and finances and everything else. So Isaiah 53, I'm going to read from the King James. This is verse 3 through 5. It said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So I want to look at this real closely here. When you look at the word griefs and sorrows, this word sorrows, it says here, he bore our griefs. This word griefs really means sickness, and to bear or bore means to take it away. He carried it off. He forgave it. It was taken away. It was swept away. He took away our sicknesses. And when he says he carried our sorrows, this word sorrows means pain physically, but it also means pain mentally. Mental pain. It means grief, anxiety, stress, sorrows. This is... You can look this up yourself in a concordance, Strong's Concordance, a Hebrew Strong Concordance. That's what this means. So when it says he carried them, it means to bear the load. He took the load of the mental anguish and the stress and the anxiety. He took it. It was already paid for. He took the pain and the mental anguish. He took that. So we've been redeemed, and when he says, "And with his stripes we're healed," then we're healed from that. Didn't say we're not going to experience or to confront it, but we've been redeemed from it. I don't have to accept it. I don't have to allow it. It's like you're being delivered a package and you go, "Don't have my name on it." Reject the package. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. I've been redeemed from that. Yes. I don't have to accept it. Yes. Didn't mean it wouldn't knock on the door. Didn't mean it wouldn't try to invade my space. But I don't have to allow it or accept it. And you can turn right around and say, "No, no, Christ bore that for me. Amen. I don't have to have it. I'm not taking it." You see. So he bore you could say, he bore these negative emotions. He bore them. He took these negative emotions. As what? Part of our redemption. He took that. So he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. So what did he bear? He bore depression. He bore discouragement. Yes. He bore worry, anxieties, fears, hurt feelings. He bore all that.
Yes, he did.
He bore anger. He bore all of that, right? He took it. What does that mean when he defeated the devil and the cross? That means that it does not now have the power to control you. The power of that has been broken. So it doesn't mean that you won't feel it. It doesn't mean that you don't feel this flesh hasn't been redeemed. You may have some feelings of anger or hurt feelings, but it can't control you. You can say, no, no, greater is he that is in me than this anger or this hurt or this anxiety or this fear. Greater is it. Greater is he that's in me. See, this is what we're talking about. And that takes, you know, I was thinking about this, just meditating on this. When we look at 1 Corinthians 3:6, when Paul said, I have planted, he said, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase.
Yes.
Who's giving the increase in me? It's no longer I that live now.
Right.
It's Christ that's in me. It's his spirit that's in me.
Yes.
God's spirit is in me. And as I continue to water the word, as I continue to keep the word of God planted and watered, he will give the increase.
Yes.
Increase over these negative feelings.
Yes.
Over these hurts, over these thoughts of suicide, over these thoughts of oppressive disorders.
Yes.
It can't control me now because the devil's power has been broken.
Amen.
It can't control me anymore.
Amen.
Doesn't mean they don't show up. You know, you talk to people that have been delivered from things, whatever you name, that they've been delivered from supernaturally. Power of God has delivered them, and they know it. You talk to any one of them and say, well, do those feelings ever come back? Oh, sure. Absolutely. They've come back. But I know who I am in Christ, and I go, no, 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 you're not welcome here. Whatever those oppressive things that they were subjected to, whether it was eating disorders, whether it was some kind of lifestyle that they were living in, it doesn't mean that those feelings may not come knocking on the door. But you have now authority in Christ to stand up and say, no, we have a choice. You know, it's interesting when you say, well, no, I can't control myself. Really? How many, I don't want to see any hands, but how many of us have acted out? Let's put it that way. Acted a certain way, and you didn't know it, and somebody walks into the room or into your presence that you didn't know, and you turn around and go, oh! And all of a sudden, you can change your demeanor. Oh, yeah, on a dime. Oh, I didn't know you were here. And you can be sweet and huggy bear. And the moment before, you were a bear. Yeah, you can control yourself. Oh, yeah, you can control yourself. It's a choice. And now we have the power of God in us to do what? Make some choices about hurts and feelings and depressions and things that come in. We can control that. You know, the devil say, oh, you're single, you're lonely. I'm not lonely. No, 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 no. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in me, and I am complete in him. And there's so much to do for God to make an impact in this generation. Don't believe the lies, because it's meant for you to dwell upon it and get what? Anxious, depressed, make stupid choices. This is where young people are today. This is where adults are. They get confronted with something that seems like it ain't never going to change. You will never have this. You will never do it. Oh, yes, I will. You're a liar. And my Father God is good to me. He's faithful to me. And as we sang this morning, goodness runs after me and follows after me. Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's having, as they say, a made-up mind. You got to make up your mind that this is who I am in Christ, and I am not led by my feelings. I'm led by what? Faith. And not by what I see or feel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you all know this, that, and of course, you read it. But if you allow these anxieties and these feelings and things to come in, I mean, anybody in any kind of medical profession will say, well, a lot of the sickness and disease is caused from what? Stress and anxiety. So if you let it in, it can cause some stuff. It'll break down your body. So we can stop it. We can say, no. I am in peace, and I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. Amen. So when we look at this also in this fifth verse, when it says, but when he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That word chastisement means the rebuke of our peace. That was upon him. For my benefit. Hallelujah. So whatever in your life is causing you to lose your peace, or you could say your shalom, he bore it. He already took it. He bore it. He bore your pains and your mental anguish and your depression. He took all of that. Sometimes we look at it and we get excited about, yeah, he bore my sickness, but he also bore all these anxieties that we try to carry. That's why Paul said, think about this. What did Paul say? You know, when we talk about somebody carrying a heavy load, right? Look what Paul talked about when he said, where was that? It was in, I think, Corinthians. Let me just look up. I wrote that scripture down. It's in, I thought I wrote it down. Somebody help me out with it. It's in, I guess I thought I did. Oh, it was maybe another. Just hold on a second. I have it. No. Anyways, I'll move on. His point was, he said, the cares of the church come upon me daily. Paul wrote that. But now let's see. He said, did he take the cares? It said they come upon him daily. But he's also the one that wrote Philippians 4:6. It said, be anxious for nothing, but with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And he's also the one that said that all of these things came upon me, and all of these, he said, because of these revelations. What did he say? He said, a messenger of Satan has been sent to buffet me. He said, I prayed the Lord thrice that I get rid of them. And the Lord, what did he say? My grace is sufficient. So he was subjected to these things, the weights of responsibility. But he had to cast it off on the Lord. And he's the one. He didn't take it. They came upon him. That's what I'm saying. You can't stop these things from coming, but you can do what? Give it to the one that can do something about it. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? So he's saying, what? Has your worry or thought changed anything? No, it hasn't changed anything. So we need to give it to the one that can do something about it. Amen. Yep, that's the one. That's good. The Amplified of Isaiah 53:3, it says, he was despised, rejected, forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. We did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. He took it. And with the stripes that wounded him were healed and made whole. Amen. So we can see here, he redeemed, you know, you could say, another thing also is that Jesus bore it, but he bore the cause of the problem. He bore the sin of it. So he took the cause and bore all of that. So that's something that we need to think about. He redeemed, or you could say it another way, he redeemed my emotions. He redeemed me. You know, when people say, you know, when you say he redeemed me from my emotions, people say, well, I am just the way I am. You know, deal with it. Really? The scripture says it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. When he moved in, and we're going to go over in a minute to look at Galatians 5:22 and 23, look at the fruit of the Spirit. When he moved in, he brought something with him. You know, you could say, when I came in to visit you, I brought some bags. He came in, he brought something. What did he bring? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness. He brought something in. And his presence should make an impact in my life. So when you say, well, you know, it's just the way I am, no. That's the way you want to be. You know, and I was, when we were up in Lancaster a week or so ago, Marvin Yoder was sharing something. And it was, you know, again, some of these things we already know, but he shared, he said, you know, I wasn't satisfied within some areas of my life. And he said, I wanted to change. He didn't like it. He wanted a change. And he said, there was a message that was impactful for me. And he said, I listened to it over a period of years. And he said, I kept track of how many times I listened to it. He said, it was over 100 times. And he said, I got to the place where I was, is the way he put it, I got sick of listening to it. And he said, I knew I hadn't got it, because if I was sick of listening to it, I hadn't got it yet. So he said, I kept listening and kept listening and kept listening, and it began to change me. So let me ask this question. Do you think the word, which is the power of God, do you think it can have an impact on my emotions? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. I've been redeemed from this earthly, what does the scripture say in Romans? To be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Shalom. Amen. So we can be spiritually minded. How do we get there? We get there by doing what? Feeding, watering, 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 hundreds of times. Watering, watering, till we get tired of watering and we water some more. And what does it do? It begins to change me from the inside out. What does the scripture say in that chapter, Romans 8? It says, since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead does what? Dwells in me. He's doing what? Quickening. Quickening. Giving life to what? My mortal body. That's not just your physical, but that's your soulical area too. That means this body can be impacted and this soul can be impacted by the quickening of the Holy Ghost. And so it can rule and reign over these anxieties and stress and all these things that bother us. The Holy Ghost can have an impact. His presence can have an impact. What does it say? In the presence of the Lord is what? The fullness of anxiety. No, joy. So when I get in his presence, when I continue to press to stay there, I'll have joy. Didn't say my things would be joyful. What does it say? It says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, what? That the trial of your what? Faith does what? Worketh patience. Hey. So we need to think about these things. And if we're being impacted in some way, then press. Find a good message. Find something that is impactful and keep listening, keep listening, keep listening. Feed upon the scripture, because Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Where is he going to give that increase? In my physical body, in my emotions, he's going to give some increase. And the things that bothered us, the things that weighed us down, the things that just troubled us are now going to look different. They're going to say, oh, that don't bother me. What am I worried about? What was I worried about that for? Amen. What does the scripture say in Isaiah? Let me read it to you. Isaiah 26. Let me get that scripture. Isaiah 26. Thought I wrote that down. Maybe I didn't. I think I did. But if we keep the word of God on our minds, that it will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ. 26:3. Thou will keep him what? In perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he does what? He trusteth in thee. You know, I'm not a linguistic scholar or anything like that. I have enough trouble with English. But somebody who knows this language, the Hebrew language, said that when it said perfect peace, the way it was originally translated or the way it was originally written, they put in perfect. But the way it was originally written, it said, thou will keep him in shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Whose mind is stayed on thee. That's perfect peace, isn't it? Shalom, shalom. So let's turn over. I said we were going to do that. Let's go over to Galatians 5, 22. There is so much to look at in this and meditate upon it that all of us have areas of our lives where we can grow in, improve in our emotions. We don't have to yield to some of the emotions that we yield to. We don't have to. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and 24 and 25. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And listen to this. And they that are what? Christ's have what? Oh, didn't say he did it. We've got to do something. We've got to do what? Crucify the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Listen to some of these other translations here. New Living translation said, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I like the Amplified. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and then it has in brackets, the work which his presence within accomplishes. That's what we're talking about. The work that his presence within accomplishes is love, joy, and this is gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such there is no law that can bring a charge. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. I like the Passion translation. It says, but the fruit, and it has harvest. The fruit or harvest produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. So the Holy Spirit brings something in and it produces in our lives a harvest. And that's what we're talking about, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and his presence in us impacts us and will produce a harvest. Where does the harvest produced? In the branch. He's the vine, we're the branch. So the fruit, the harvest, needs to be seen where? In the body of Christ. So we need to be led by his Spirit and be impacted, what? By his word. Amen. Glory to God. Let's turn over briefly here to Ephesians chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Actually, before you do that, Let's just, as I'm just going to use this time here to just touch on this. Go over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You know, sometimes I heard a minister say this, which I thought was well put, Mark chapter 4 and start at verse 35. We are to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Or we could say we'll walk by faith and not our feelings. So if we're walking by faith, faith puts no pressure on people. Faith puts no pressure on people. Because if you are convinced that God has redeemed you from something and he supplies all your need in glory by Christ Jesus, then we put no pressure on people. You can look straight forward because people do this. Husbands put pressure on wives. Wives put pressure on husbands. What are you going to do about this? And we'll keep going until they get an answer. And maybe the answer, you know, I heard somebody talk about Brother Hagin when he was alive. And he said his wife hadn't got the revelation of this yet. And they were going through the front door. And she said, you know, I think if we drop dead right here, she said, you wouldn't even be concerned. She was, as Mrs. Felix used to say, being a spoon, right? A nudge. So obviously it concerned her because he didn't let things bother him. And his response wasn't the kind of response that she was going to like, but he said, well, why would I be concerned? He said, you left the body, now you're in heaven. He said, no, I'm not going to be concerned about that. And that didn't go over too good. But he said she got the revelation later on in life that not to be concerned or take care, right? So we have to get to that place where things in life, we can't control it, but I can control my reaction to it. I can control my reaction to it. I am not going to let this control my emotions. Because if it does, it'll affect your faith. It'll impact your faith. Faith and fear can't be in the same place. So let's look at Mark 4. You know, sometimes when people say, don't you care? Sometimes people associate care and worry with your concern. Don't you care? Yeah, I do. But I'm not going to let it concern me. So look what happened here. Jesus had the same issue. Right? It says, in the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. So they had a little armada going. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. You can just imagine, here they are, the ship is, the boat's filling with water, and they're concerned, what? That maybe they can't swim, they're going to drown, and their life is at risk. And where was Jesus? Verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, snoozing, asleep on a pillow, sloshing around in the water. It says he was full. I don't know. It says he was asleep. Maybe he was floating. Who knows? I don't know. He had to have been wet. Right? And he was asleep. And what did they do? They awoke him. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They hadn't gotten a revelation when he said, let us go to the other side. So if he said, we're going to the other side, it don't matter what conditions are coming up, we're going. And he went to sleep. So it's no different in our lives when he said we've been redeemed from things, he'll supply all our needs, and he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and stuff comes that make it look contrary, and we go, Lord, don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through? And he goes, read your text. Read your text. And what did he got on their case, right? What did he do? He got up, he dealt with the problem, he rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said, why are you so fearful? And this is not a good testimony here. How is it that you have no faith? No faith. None, nada, nothing, no faith. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was coming in, and this other example came. Think about Jesus. Now we look at Jesus, another example of Jesus. And then we'll look at, well, we mentioned Paul in 2 Corinthians. But even Jesus in the garden, think about the distress and the mental anguish that he had, because it said in Mark 14, it said, and he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and to begin, and he was sore amazed, and to be very heavy. When you look that up, that word very heavy means to be in distress of mind, full of heaviness. He was in full distress of mind. The weight of that he knew what he was going to be subjected to. And what did he say? He said, Lord, he said, and he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. I don't think any of us have been sorrowful unto death. Maybe you have. You know, we can see that in society. People go and they commit suicide. We don't have to. We've been redeemed. He took that. So we don't have to. The chastisement of what? Our peace was upon him. So when we walk through things in life, remember to not try to wage a private mental thing. Don't try to wage a mental war. You'll get stuck. The answer is 1 inch below your nose. It's in your mouth. We believe and therefore speak. I believe and therefore speak. So God has given us, you can't think about something and speak on something at the same time. You'll stop about what you're thinking. You'll stop on what you're thinking when you speak. I used this little example the other day. I said, count from 1 to 25. Do it mentally, and then we'll make a confession. But don't stop counting. See what happens. You had to stop counting. The minute you start to speak, you stopped thinking about what you were thinking on. So when you get stuck thinking about the problems in life, begin to do what? Speak the word of God. And it'll do what? It'll stop the thoughts. Because what you're speaking will become your thoughts. That's how we confront the distresses and anxieties and the things that confront us. What does it say in Philemon? That the communication of our faith become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in us in Christ. So we've got to do what? Speak what the Word of God has spoken or said, and this is what we've been redeemed from. Amen.
Amen.
But let us not be subject. We are overcomers through Christ. Overcoming what? Overcoming the distresses and anxieties. Doesn't mean they're not going to impact my flesh and my feelings, but the real me was changed. The real me's on the inside, not the outside. And the devil will try to get you all tripped up thinking, you know, this and this and this and this. You say, no. The real me has been changed. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And I'm not subject to these conditions. Your behavior doesn't define you. What defines you is who you identify with. You identified with Christ. Amen. Praise God. So as get these things and meditate upon the Word of God, don't let the stresses of life and society impact you to the degree that maybe I'm saying, hey, I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow in this area where the peace of God keeps my heart and mind because I keep my heart and mind on Him. Just think about this, and we'll close with this scripture. Go over to Joshua 1:8. When we talk about waging a mental battle and speaking, look at Joshua 1:8 and just think about the instructions that he was given. It says here, this book of the law shall not what? Depart from where? Didn't say your mind. It said, first thing was let it not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. So could we prosper in our mental faculties and our emotions? Oh, yes, we can. But it's going to mean that we're going to have to not let the Word of God depart from our mouth. We're going to have to speak against these things that come against us. And actually, this word meditate, you look at the order, it says mouth first, meditate second. But even with the word meditate, that word means to mutter, to speak, to talk. So the more faith we have, the more we release our faith, the less we worry, the less we're concerned about things. You know, like Brother Hagin said, he said, I'm concerned about it, but I'm not going to let it concern me. It may come and concern you, but I can't change it. He's going to have to change it. He's going to have to work on my behalf to change that. So I release my faith and cast the care of this over on God. And I begin to do what? Say so. I speak it. You know, people are going through all kinds of stuff. Christians, you know, family things, financial things, children things. And, you know, I'm going to share something next week, because how many would agree that the Holy Ghost, that God knows things 30 years from now, 50 years from now, 60 years from now? He already knows that. So the things that are going on in our society aren't catching God by surprise. And so I'm going to read something next week, a prophecy given by Brother Hagin about America that he was given back in the 60s. And it explains almost to a T what we're seeing right now. Right to a T. Right to a T. So it didn't catch him by surprise. But he has what? He has put in us the greater one. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit so that we can do what? We can have an influence on society. We can impact generations and young people and older people. We can have an impact. Not let it impact us where we're just coming apart at the seams. No. Greater is he that's in me. And it's not going to get any better. I'll just tell you that. That prophecy said it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And Brother Hagin said in this prophecy, he said, oh God, oh Lord, oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to? Is this all we have is wars and distresses and all of that? And he said, read my text. He said, don't look. He said, look at what you don't see. He said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But we've been given hope in that we've been redeemed. And so we need not do what? Despair on the things. You know, that's why I say limit what you feed on with going on in society, because you walk away and go, ooh, God, what are we going? Where are we going? Oh, no, it's the time to rejoice. It's a time where we can have an impact with the presence of God that we carry. We can come into somebody's life that's so distraught, lay hands on the sick, and they're delivered from the power of darkness. Not me being affected by it. No, I'm going to break its power and deliver people. See? And that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get us all focused on the problems. Jesus bore the cause. He took the problem, and I'm delivered from it. And that's why he said the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all men. He said, do what? And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Not be in fear. Oh, no. This is a time to rejoice. This is a time to feed and keep watering, keep watering, keep watering, keep watering. Get closer. What does it say in Hebrews 10? As we see the day approaching, we should be assembling more and fellowshipping more, not being separated. Feeding and coming where, you know, I think about this. When I was a young Christian, hungry for the things of God, I made sure I hungered such that I searched for where the presence of God was. Not where nonsense was and fear and anxiety. I went where his presence was. And what did it do? It had an impact upon me. And this is where we are. We need to join ourselves together in unity and in faith, where his presence is manifested, so that we can be impacted and go out now and do what? Impact people. We carry his presence. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So it is a troubling time that we live in, but it's also a time of great opportunity. Great opportunity. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your presence that dwells within us. Thank you that you've anointed each one of us in a special way that we can have an impact with those we come in contact with. Thank you that we can be bearers of hope and encouragement. Thank you that we can share with people that you are a good God. You're a faithful God that cares. And so, Father, we thank you. Let us be the laborers that you're looking for. Anoint us with hope and with encouragement and with your anointing. And if necessary, lay hands upon the sick, cast out demons, and help people and deliver them from these things that you've paid for. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God.